today, I'm going to talk about redemption. I'm going to begin this by dropping a bomb. Sin is no longer an issue with God. We are redeemed. With that statement, you are either rejoicing, shocked, or confused. That is one radical statement, but one that I believe that I can back up with the Word of God. The message that most people hear says that sin breaks your relationship or fellowship with God. The strictest message says that you lose your salvation or backslide every time you sin until it is confessed. Others believe that your eternal salvation is still secure, but you lose fellowship. You can't get your prayers answered, or you can't be used with God if you sin. That's not good news, since all of us sin. Romans 30, 23 and 1 John 8. Christians usually cope by trying to keep every sin confessed. Let me just put this bluntly. That's impossible. The Bible says that whatever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14, 23. Do we always walk in faith? James 4, 17 reveals that sin isn't only doing things that are wrong, but it is not doing what we know is right. Would any claim that they are loving God and others as they should? By these definitions, we all sin through the weakness of our flesh. It's impossible to keep every sin confessed. Even if it were possible, that puts the burden of salvation on our backs. There wouldn't be any peace or rest in our relationship with the Lord if that's the way it worked. Romans 5:1. Most people, including Christians, see the forgiveness of sins as something that God can do and continues to do, but not as something that He has completed. From that comes the false concept that we must constantly confess our sins, which makes and keeps us sin conscious. The New Testament presents the forgiveness of sins as something that is already accomplished, and the effect of redemption is that we are not even conscious of sin. Hebrews 10, 1-2. Ask yourself, what produced the forgiveness of sins? When did that happen? Jesus was the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. John 1:29. It was through the shedding of Jesus' blood that we receive redemption, which is the forgiveness of our sins. Ephesians 1:7 and Colossians 1:14. When did Jesus die and shed his blood for our sins? About 2,000 years ago. He will never die again. Romans 6:9-10. He dealt with the sins of the whole human race once for all times. Hebrews 9:25-28 and 10:10-14. Jesus' sacrifice for our sins is already an accomplished work. We don't have to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. He has already done it. Paul didn't tell the Philippian jailer to ask Jesus to forgive him. Paul told him to believe on what Jesus had already done and he would be saved. Acts 16:31. We confess the Lord Jesus, not our sins, to receive this gift of salvation. Romans 10:9. Does that mean that everyone in the whole world is saved? Certainly not. We have to receive forgiveness by our faith. Acts 26:18. The Lord has already forgiven everyone's sins. 1 John 2:2. That's grace. But we have to put faith in what God has already accomplished by grace to be saved. Ephesians 2:8. Therefore, it's not a person's who sin, it's not a person's sins that sends him to hell. Sins are already paid for and forgiven. It's the singular sin of not believing on Jesus that sends a person to hell. It's their failure to accept what Jesus did for them that puts them into that place of eternal torment. John 16:8-9 says, "And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me." The singular sin the Holy Spirit reproves us of is not believing on Jesus. That's it. That's not to say that the Holy Spirit will not show us things that we do are wrong, but he uses them to illustrate that we don't believe on Jesus. The Holy Spirit isn't enabling us every time we sin. He loves us by our faith in Christ Jesus. But the whole issue with God, that is the whole issue with God. What difference does this make in our lives if we accept forgiveness as something that has already been accomplished or not? There is a huge difference. It gives us security and peace knowing that God isn't mad at us and won't be mad at us. Our sins are already forgiven, and not just the past sins that we committed before we were born again. All of our sins, past, present, and even future ones, are already forgiven. Someone will say, how can God forgive our sins before we commit them? Well, you better pray that he can do that, because Jesus only died for our sins once, 2,000 years ago. That was before you committed any sins. If he can't forgive sins before you commit them, then you can't be saved. It says in Hebrews 10:10-12 and 14, by the which we are justified in the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. In every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. We have received eternal, not momentary, redemption. Hebrews 9:12. One sacrifice was made for all sins forever, and we have been perfected forever. How can we read these scriptures and come to any other conclusion that every sin, past, present, and future, was forgiven, and that redemption is eternal? If you have accepted the sacrifice of Jesus through sins by faith, all sins by faith, then your spirit is saved. Hebrews 12:23. Your spirit has been born again. A million years from now, your spirit will be identical to what it is right now. And it is. identical to Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:17 and 1 John 4:17. One third of your redemption is complete. So, am I making light of sin, or saying that sin doesn't matter? No. Sin is a terrible thing because it is an inroad for Satan into your life. Romans 6:16. I hate sin. Some of us live a holier life than others. Nevertheless, we should all be satisfied with the blood of Jesus above sin. His sacrifice was infinitely greater than all the past, present, and future transgressions. The entire human race. Jesus overpaid the debt that we owe. You might say, what about 1 John 1:9? I'm glad that you brought that up. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to confess sin in order to be saved, to retain, or to maintain our salvation. If I believe that was so, I would kill every person who came forward for salvation. I might go to hell, but that's the only way that they would ever get to heaven. We need to confess it, not for the purpose of becoming born again, but because our flesh is defiled. That gives Satan a legal right to function in our flesh. Romans 6:16. Confessing we have sinned means that we are coming back into agreement with God, and that an out of agreement with the devil. That stops Satan from dominating us through that sin and draws us to forgiveness and security, which is already in our born again spirits and not into our flesh. Our born again spirit is eternally redeemed. Hebrews 9:12. The other two thirds, your soul and body, have also been purchased by his blood. But their redemption has not yet taken place. However, God has made provisions for them as well. Romans 3:8-3 reads, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan in ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Ephesians 1:14 says, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. When redemption is complete in spirit, soul, and body, we will know him as we are known. 1 Corinthians 13:12. But until then, we can experience a renewed mind through his word. And although we are waiting for the redemption of our body, we can receive healing while we live in our mortal bodies. God has made provisions for both the soul and the body, even though their redemption has not been made manifest. Unfortunately, most Christians are not taking advantage of these provisions. They have not renewed their minds, and they still don't understand that we are also redeemed from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13. The average New Testament believer is still trying to get God to respond to him based on their performance. Why? Because they don't know that the performance covenant of the Old Testament law is over. We are now under the New Testament ministry of grace and faith. 2 Corinthians 3:7-8. The law was given to convict people of their self-righteousness so that they could see their need for a Savior. Praise God, we are now no longer under the law. 1 Timothy 1:9 says that the law is not made for righteous men. And who is righteous? Any person who is born again. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Hebrews 7:12-18 says, For the priesthood having been changed, there was made a necessity for change also of the law. For there is verily a disannulment of the commandment coming before the weakness and unprofitable thereof. What a radical statement. A disannulment. The word disannulling literally means cancellation, to make null and void. The Old Testament law has been nullified, canceled, done away with. profitable. It was only a stopgap measure until Jesus. Galatians 3:23-25. Ephesians 1:3-5 says, He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings, hath chosen us, having predestined us unto this adoption of children. In the Greek, hath is past tense, which means it's a done deal. It's an accomplished fact. So, how blessed is our spiritual blessings? Verse 6 says that we have been accepted in the Beloved. Really? That is a super understatement. The Greek word that is used for accepted is only used twice in the New Testament. The other place in Luke 1, where the angel Gabriel came unto Mary, Gabriel said, Hail thou, highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Verse 28. The Greek word for highly favored is the only other time that this word was used. When it says that we are accepted in the Beloved, it is saying that He has made us highly favored. Mary hasn't got anything on the born again believer. Every one of us is accepted, chosen, and highly favored. It's all part of redemption. Understanding redemption, the complete forgiveness of your sins, is foundational for understanding the new covenant and how God deals with you today. If you are born again and still asking questions like these, can I lose my salvation? If I die with unconfessed sins, will I go to heaven? Or does God answer the prayers of someone who still sins? Then you do not understand redemption. Redemption is very practical, and you are understanding and will determine what you are able to receive from God, not just in eternity, but here and now. Praise God for the hearing of His word. Amen.